you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Job. That's the same spelling as the word job. Some people know the difference between Job or job. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Job chapter 14. I asked the Lord, since He wanted me to minister this, because I had some great people I was going to ask to come and do this. And the Spirit of God said, no, I want you to do this. Many people write me. Bishop Keith Butler, a very good friend of mine in Detroit, Michigan, I preach for him every year. He said, till the rapture. He said, if you miss it, you still can preach here. I won't be here, but you still can. I said, no, I'm going with you, Bishop. Glory to God. He's such a, just a blessing of the Lord. He said, Jesse, I don't know if anyone else has ever did this. He's came three or four times, flew in here. You've done something that's really amazing. I said, well, I have it, Bishop. The Lord has. But I've learned something in life. I'm very careful. I don't miss much. I can be talking, but I'm still observing. Because I find that it makes no difference how old you are or how young you are. You can always learn if you have the ability to want to. You don't have to be smart to learn. You just have to be available to learn. Title of my message tonight, and you can take some notes on this, change. The only thing that never changes is change. It never changes because it's always changing. Change. The only thing that never changes. It's constantly changing because it's the only thing that doesn't change. Because it's changing. Did you get that? The people on the internet say, what did he say? Change. The only thing that never changes. Job is having a lot of problems in his life. In verse 14, he says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're waiting for change to come, you got a problem on your hand. Job had a lot of problems because usually who will show up is three people that will look at you for 7 days, not say a word, and finally when they open up their mouth, they say, what you did wrong? And he's thinking, I don't know what I did wrong. I don't think I did anything wrong. I don't know. See, he's waiting for change. Write this down. Don't wait for change to change you. You'll be behind the curve instead of ahead of it. I never wait for change to change me, because if you do, you're always behind instead of ahead. See, change, the only thing that never changes. So I realized something, ladies and gentlemen, that we must be constantly, even though you're all anointed of God, you got to be constantly aware that God never changes, but people do. And times change. So you have to learn to flow. One of the saddest situations I get myself into when I preach all over the world. I'll go preach at a church, and this is what they'll say to me. You seen this church? This was the biggest church in this area 30 years ago, 20 years ago. It was powerful. It was the going church. And now it doesn't have that much. Then I realized something. The reason why the church went down instead of growing constantly is because they didn't go with change. The thing that never changes. You see, when you get, what is a rut but a grave with both ends kicked out? So I've learned something. Don't forget, if you have children, teenagers, don't forget what it was to be 15, because you were crazy too. You see what I'm saying? See, so change, the thing that never changes, don't wait for change to change you. You'll be behind the curve instead of ahead of it. And Job was behind the curve instead of ahead of it, waiting for something to happen. Now, Job, he kind of has an excuse because he doesn't have the 9 gifts or the 9 fruits or the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He don't even know who Satan is, because in his mind, everything good comes from God and everything bad comes from God. And even the devil, God said, why would you try to move me against Job? You know, people think, well, it's what he feared the most came upon him. Fear tolerated his faith contaminated. I know that. But what happened was he didn't do nothing wrong. His wife did and his kids did. But he's thinking, well, I'm just going to sit here and scrape myself till change comes. And you'll just wind up scraping and hurting yourself. Change will come, but you'll always be behind the curve. So don't wait for change to change you. You'll be behind the curve instead of ahead of it. You see, if you wait for change to change you, it shows that you are insecure and afraid of yourself. Write that down. If you wait for change to change you, it shows that you're insecure and you're afraid of yourself. You'd be surprised how many people are afraid of themselves. They are amazing to me because they're afraid God tells them to do something. And then when they do it, they say, oh, I hope I did it right. You know, or they're insecure. Well, I can't do that. Well, we know nobody can, but God in us can do us all. See, people think I'm cocky and arrogant. No, I am very assured and I'm confident of what I do. So when I see things changing, years ago, I remember people begin to want to dance in the spirit. Well, before, my God, if you did that, they throwed you out. Some of the music we got today, you know, you couldn't play the music we're playing today in most of the churches 30 years ago, 20, they kick you out, call you a heathen from hell. And you notice most of the young people in the world is not being a part of any of that anymore because they haven't been willing to change. The Word of God never changes, but people do, and you have to work with it. You see what I'm saying? So I realize something, as things change in the world, if I'll change with it but not change the Word of God or my conviction, God will cause this place to grow, cause my ministry to grow. It don't matter how old we are. You know why Brother Hagin was so successful? He was willing to work with change. There's some people say, well, bless God, this is the way it is, and it ain't going to change. Well, you'll find out they'll begin to erode because they're insecure. They're afraid to try something new. See, they're insecure and they're afraid of their stuff because they don't feel they're capable of doing it. When a God, you know, I've never built nothing in my life. This is the first thing I've ever built in my life. I built all 122,000 square. I didn't know. See, if a carpenter tell me something, I got to believe him, because, I mean, if I build a dog house, that dog going to get wet. But I heard the voice of God. I realized he didn't know the voice of God, but he knew the price of lumber. He knew the price of nails. He knew all that kind of stuff. So I said, I will listen to that and listen to the voice of God and incorporate them, and we will build God's house. Now, maybe not in the way that most people think you should build it, but it's here. See, so don't wait for change to change you. It shows that you're insecure and afraid of yourself. See, a person should never run against his convictions. He should run with his convictions. You see, I've never changed my convictions because I didn't convict myself. The Lord gave me these convictions. Now, I don't preach my convictions. A lot of people do. Let me tell you, preacher, something. Never preach what you're going through. That's emotional preaching. Man, you're going to have to retract some tapes because you don't know the end result. Never preach what you're going through. Preach what you've gone through. If you've gone through something, then you have the end result. You can give an answer instead of, we don't know. I don't like the gospel casino. Blowing these dice, Holy Ghost. Come on, Jesus. Give us your number 7, Lord. No, it's a gamble. God is not a casino or a gamble. So I don't run. My point is, a person should never run against his convictions. He should run with his convictions. Or in other words, I don't care if the world changes, my convictions don't. You see what I'm saying? Because I don't run against them. I run with them. You see, I'm not waiting for change to change me. I will work with change. Change, the thing that never changes. When you understand that, then I realize, my God, I have some abilities I did not know I had until I decided to get out the boat of religion and get on the water. Because in the boat of religion, it's nothing but disciples, but on the water is Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Now, you see, when I began to realize that, I thought, man, I can't do that. The Lord said, I know. You know, when God called me, do you know I am not a funny man? I never had humor in my life. That was one of the most amazing things God ever gave me. When I first preached, people started falling out the pew. I got mad. I said, what's the matter with these crazy people? Can I? She said, you funny. I said, I ain't funny. She said, you funny. Where did that come from? Then I realized that the body of Christ needed to laugh. God needed some joy. Because all ever heard, you go to, you hear this, I tell you what, the Lord, the devil been beating our brains. I tell you what, if we don't, God don't do something. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we're going to have to take the phone out the church. I know it only costs $6 a month, but we're only bringing in 38 cents. And Jesus, we don't know what to do. Won't you help me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me? I thought, I sure don't want to be a part of that. I didn't want to be a part of that. So I had to start doing something. They were afraid of themselves. So I thought, praise God, I'm going to step out. Because the only thing that can happen is I can sink. But if Jesus is on that water, I won't sink. Peter beginning to sink. He caught him. You see what I'm saying? So if you wait for change to change, it shows that you're insecure and afraid of yourself. Because if you're behind the curve. I want to be ahead of the curve. In other words, it dawned on me. I was walking around and I said, if the world can do something, this ministry can do something. I don't care if it's Microsoft. I don't care if it's a multi-billion-dollar company. If they can do it, I can do it. And why shouldn't we do it first? Do you know the satellites was an invention by a Christian, not by a heathen, but we didn't have enough sense to hold on to it. Do you know the church could have bought ABC, CBS, NBC, but we didn't have enough sense. We called it a one-eyed demon. Now those people that said that are on it said, won't you help me? This one-eyed demon is expensive. We could be selling them time instead of them selling us time. And don't get afraid of the word entertainment, because Christian people need to be entertained. There's some sad sacks in the world. You know what I'm saying? I never preach my convictions. I mean, mine, because that's my convictions. Mine. That's not yours. So I don't try to make people do something that, in other words, if I see them doing something that I don't feel is right, but it may be okay for them. I'm not talking about pure sin. I'm talking about certain things. See, I personally believe, when I never wanted to get around church girls. Why? They was ugly. The ones I knew didn't believe in makeup. I'm talking gag a maggot ugly. You understand what I'm saying? And my grandmothers, they in heaven, they say, why don't you marry a girl in the church? I said, no, I'm going amongst the Philistines. Come on, baby. Give me a Delilah. Hey, Lord. Want no plain-looking, donkey-looking woman? Get me a Delilah. A Jezebel wouldn't be bad neither. I was a heathen. At least I accomplished what I was believing for. Don't shout me down when I was preaching good. You see, at least I accomplished what I was believing for. It might have been wrong, but I still accomplished it. Then I realized something. My God, what people say, if you put that makeup on your face, this is years ago, you look like Jezebel. Excuse me, has anybody in this generation ever saw Jezebel? Because you're the oldest person I've ever seen in my life. I'd like to meet you. You'd be about 5,000 years old. And I know you need some makeup if you 5,000 years old. You don't know what Jezebel look like. You just think you do. You might have a little description. See what I'm saying? Don't wait for change to change you. You'll be behind the curve instead of ahead of it. I want to be ahead of it. So I thought, great God, give me an insight. Give me a concept. Give me an idea. And when he said, I want you to build this debt-free and under budget. Huh? Lord, I never built nothing. He said, good, then you can't make a mistake. I said, why? He said, because if you made a mistake, you wouldn't know you made a mistake because you don't know what you're doing. I thought, we walk by faith and not by sight. Right. And I asked the Lord, anytime something would come, and they knew we did, they would not kick against my spirit. We go, no. They said, no, but just, you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. I know what you're saying is right, but you hadn't heard the voice of God. We are going to do this. Not to prove who I am, but to prove what Jesus said. You see, so we did some things that people never thought we could do. Oh, no, there's always somebody in the world doing what you thought couldn't be done. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you're on the line, you can't be afraid of yourself and be insecure. I had a lady tell me that day, my child's becoming a teenager. Ah, she's starting to be a little rebellious. I said, what are you shook up for? You were rebellious too. How many of y'all, how many times you'd close the door and cuss your mama out looking at the mirror? You wouldn't tell her that, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you what I'm going to. She said, what'd you say? I didn't say nothing, Mom. I never forget when Jody came up to me. She said, my daughter said, and she said, Daddy, me and Ed are going to get married. I said, Jody, you're too young. She said, how old are you and Mama? I said, we ain't talking about us. See, it always changes when you get involved in the equation. And they got a great marriage and everything's going fine. But you see, then I realized something. That even though I'm her daughter, I'm her father. Well, I changed, have I? Oh, Jesus. I've changed. Times are changing. That I can learn something from her and learn something from my son-in-law. Yeah. If I just listen and not be afraid that they know something I don't know. Because you know what? Not everybody knows everything. At least I don't think so. So I don't preach my personal convictions. Why? There's some things that I cannot do that you can do. That's for me only. Evidently, God sees something in my life, and that's why he put that there as a guard. You see what I'm saying? To help me to stay on the driven path. You see what I'm saying? I was told I drank a fifth of whiskey a day before I was saved. You watch the internet, that's like about the size of a milk jar, big milk. I smoke a little dope a week. I snorted cocaine, PCP, crystal, you name it, I did it. Took trips, never left my house. Woo! Just gone. Come back. I was a sinner. Now, I know something about drugs because I know when I'm around a drug addict and I know when I'm around a drunk. I know that. Why? I've experienced that. But I'm not afraid to get around booze. And I'm not afraid to get around drugs. Why? Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm not insecure about that or afraid of myself. All I do is crucify my flesh because I have changed.
And if I get a bad thought in my mind, I say, excuse me, that's not my thought. My thoughts are lovely, just, good, report, pure, virtuous. Bible says, think on these things. That's not one of them things. I'll not think about that. You can control your mind if you got the guts to try. You see what I'm saying? But now, if I'm convicted about something, stay away from it. Why? Because that's God giving a signal to you. You don't mess with that part. But it may be okay for everybody else, but maybe not for you. See, so a person should run against, should never run against his convictions. He should run with his convictions. And I'm saying all that to say this. I am the architect of my life. Write that down. And you should be the architect of your life. Destiny and destination are determined by God's plan for you and your understanding of that plan. You see, the problem with preachers and ministries all the time, if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. You know what happens to traveling ministries? They get tired of traveling and get a church. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And it's okay for a traveling minister to become a pastor. I'm not talking about that. But see, the motive is wrong. I don't want to get off the road. But you got to understand, when you start pastoring, after a while, you get tired of pastoring too. Let me tell you something about preachers. You know, people think we get excited to hear your voice. Call at 3 o'clock in the morning. Was you sleeping? Oh, no, I had to answer the phone. I was. I ain't going to say that. Try to be nice. Oh, we were waiting for your call. We just knew. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why people need so much counseling when there's so many Bibles. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. So the first thing was, somebody said, I want counsel with you. I said, what did the Word say about that? Well, I don't know. I said, go read the Word. You don't need to talk to me. You need to talk to the Word. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him. See? Taught in the Word. What does the Word say about that? I'm having a problem with this. What does the Word say about that? Well, the Word says this, but, that's your problem. Need to get your butt out the way. This in my church, I can say what I want right here. Need to get your butt out the way. Because, see, you start saying something, and they mean when you say but, you cancel everything you said. Everything. You go back to zero. Oh, you hearing what I'm saying? So you are the architect of your life. Destiny and destination are determined by God's plan for you and your understanding of that plan. Now, do you know God's plan for you? Or are you aimlessly walking through life? Think I'll be an evangelist for a while. Think I'll be a preacher, a pastor for a while. Oh, I think I'm going to work at a job. Wait a minute, excuse me. What did God call you to do? I really don't know. Don't know, then what are you doing? I know one guy, he lost his job and became a preacher. He lost his job and said, I'm going into ministry. He's had moral failure, financial failure. He's messed up in 2 or 3 churches. God didn't send him, he just went. That doesn't mean he can't preach. Well, what about the gifts of the Spirit operate and function in their life? That's the Word of God doing that. Well, God's going to look at his character and understanding. Do you believe or do you live what you say? That doesn't mean you can't make a mistake. And some people are mad at me because I grant mercy. Why? Why not? I don't know anybody that hadn't blown it, done something wrong. Now, some things they should have never done, but you know, I ain't used to try to hash that out. You see what I'm saying? You have to learn to know what to do when, if you're a preacher and you've had an immorality. You remind me of Samson. The devil wiped you out, blinded you. All of a sudden, you sit yourself under a minister trying to get yourself back in, but you're walking around the grist mill. But you see, they cut your hair off. You lost your anointing. But as you're going around, your hair began to grow back. You begin to feel that anointing. You see, it's coming back. Why? Because you've repented. But you're still around that grist mill. All of a sudden, you come into the pastor, I'm ready to go out there. And he tells you this, I don't think you ought to go. Then you know what you think? The devil says, he's trying to hold you back. Now listen to this. This is a revelation to help you. And you can think, no, man, I mean, then you're anointing gone, so I can feel it. No, no. Well, when should I go back? See, some people say you should be out 3 months. Some people say 2 years. Some this and that. That's all a bunch of hogwash. Let me help you. I know what's right. Let me tell you when you go back. You see, you don't go back when your anointing comes back. You go back when your eyes get healed. You see, you can be anointed, all your hair is growing back like Samson, but he's still blind. And you see, you're going to go out against your enemies and you're going to die with the enemies. So the way to go back in that pulpit, listen to me, or the way to get back in that ministry is not when your anointing comes back, when your eyes get healed, then you can see. And once you know, you will never do that again. But a lot of people go back and they have to have someone lead them and guide them. The anointing is in full power, but their eyes are still blind. So you go back and receive that when your eyes get healed. Did you enjoy that? Listen to me. Then you know what to do, when to do, where to do it, and how to do it. Then you won't make that mistake anymore. See, but see, people confusing the anointing. Well, God says, I'm ready. No. The anointing comes back to prepare you. But your eyes need to get healed. If you don't, you'll die with your enemies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you don't want to die with your enemies. You want to get your eyes back that they put out. And then your ministry will be more fruitful than it was before the fall came. That's for someone in here who needed that. You are the architect of your life. Destiny and destination are determined by God's plan for you and your understanding of that plan. Now, number two, write this down. Never live by pride, live by principle. You see, I don't live by pride. I live by principle. I had a man ask me this the other day, and I thought it was a valid question. Oh, Jess, I've been knowing you for years. A lot of women follow you. I said, does that bother you? I said, you got a problem with that? I said, don't lie. I said, you've noticed all the women following me? I didn't notice women were following me. I don't see women as a sexual object to be conquered. I see them as a speaking spirit. See, that's the difference. It's what you see, how you see. See, that was bothering him. He said, but Jess, how do you keep from messing up like that? I said, I don't live by pride. I live by principle. See, principle keeps me in that box and keeps me straight. I'm still as human as any other man. You know, every man, you know, behind every great man is a woman rolling her eyes. Here's the truth. They're going, the fool. But see, if a good-looking woman look at you, you think. Ladies, you got to understand this about men. Men are drug addicts. They're drug addicts. All of us, men. We have this drug, and it's called testosterone. Hard to control. I mean, you don't even feel it. All of a sudden, a woman look at you and go, hi. Boom! You start walking like this. What's up, Mom? Hey. I don't care how old you are. You begin to think, I still got it, Jack. Okay, mate. Talk to me, Mufasa, Lion King. Her, her, her. And you see, look at the women right now. Look at them going. See? Because women have way more self-control in that area. Difference between an old man and an old woman. You have an old woman come walking in church. Here comes some hunk of a man. I mean, he built good, you know. He got a body on him. He got a six-pack. He ain't got a keg like me. He got a six-pack on him, you know. And he'll walk up and say, man, would you like me to help you to your seat? A woman. Watch it. Thank you, young man. What a blessing. And they just walk over and sit down. You have an old man sitting in a wheelchair. And some foxy mama walked by. Oh, I don't care if he's 95 years old. He go, turn me around so I can look at her. He's a drug addict. He's a drug addict. That's so true. That's stupid. But he's a drug addict. He has to learn. See, and the way you control that is by living by principle instead of by pride. Because that's a pride thing. Principles are larger and deeper than rules and regulations. The recognition of God keeps you from pride. This is how I check myself all the time. Something comes at me, and I go, would God do that? I have to say it out loud so my mind can hear what my mouth is saying. Will the Lord do that? See, principles are larger and deeper than rules and regulations. You're going to break rules and regulations, but if you truly understand principles, you won't break them if you understand, because they guard you. They keep you in the box where you're supposed to be. You see, it doesn't allow pride there, because what goes before pride? Destruction. A fall or destruction. So principles are larger and deeper than rules and regulations. Reason why I'm a man of principle, principles define who you are. Listen to this. Make sure your coat of many colors is from God, or the color of blood may be added to it. You see, Jacob made a mistake. Big mistake. You can't show favoritism. That would make a respecter a person. You stay by your principle. You might like this person better. That's not the issue. The issue is you live by principle. Jacob made a mistake. Jacob was wrong in showing favoritism. Do you know the coat of many colors was not a coat of rainbow colors? Did you know that? The coat of many colors was a coat of many tunics, many layers. It was for the firstborn. You see, and when Jacob's boy saw that, he broke a principle. Even though Joseph deserved it, Joseph was a good kid. I can prove it to you because a woman came up to him and said, listen, man, let's get in the sack here. Now, he didn't say, well, talk to me, mama. Get down with your bad self. I'll repent tomorrow. Come on, baby. No, no. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? He kept God in his mind because principle was dictating his life. He was the architect of his life. Principle, that's Genesis 37, verse 3 and 23. Joseph's coat of many colors. He shouldn't have been wearing that coat. That belonged to Reuben. Now, whether Reuben deserved it or not, that's not the issue. You don't break principles because they're larger and bigger than rules and regulations. They guard you. They keep you. I've had some people try to put things on me that didn't fit me, even though they thought I should wear it. They honored me. And I said, no, I refuse. You got to have the ability as you grow in ministry, or as you grow as a Christian, to say no to some things, even though you want them. But they may not be that good for you because you haven't grown or developed enough to receive it and operate in that area of your life. Some of you traveling ministers need to understand that. That's why sometimes you don't like pastors. They may have grown past you, or vice versa. The pastor may not be grown where you are. So you learn to work together. You see what I'm saying? We should never be at each other's throat. We should be working together. For what? For the body of Christ. And when you understand that, then you know you never live by pride. You live by principle. Principles are larger and deeper than rules and regulations. The recognition of God keeps you from pride. So principle defines me. Make sure your coat of many colors is from God, or the color of blood may be added to it. See, the coat of many colors was for the firstborn. And when you understand that, then it works. You see, so I realize, I've had people say, I have seen you follow Oral Roberts preaching. I've seen you follow Joyce Myers preaching, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes. You name it, I've preached with all of them. I'm not being arrogant about that. They said, but just, you don't look. It don't seem to bother you in the least. You ain't nervous? No. I can preach it. I can just give me the microphone, son. I don't care who's preached before me. I don't care if the place fell out and everybody raptured and came back. I'll still preach to them. Why? Because I'm not trying to be them. I'm not putting on their coat of many colors. You see my point? I'm just going to give you what I got. You see what I'm saying? And once I do that, God will honor me. That's all he wants me to do is obey him anyway. I wish I could preach like Kenneth Copeland. I wish I could preach like Mark Hankin. Mark Hankin is a phenomenal preacher of the gospel. I get tons of revelation in one sentence of his. And it's a blessing of the Lord. But I can't. So what I do is God has given me the ability to be friends with him. And I can hear him and understand him, be a part of his life, be a part of his ministry. And things like, and listen, see, I don't have to be him. I wouldn't mind being him. But I said, it's not the issue. I wish I was, but I am what I am. That's all that I am. And that's it. And I'm very satisfied with that. You see my point? So when I was asked to preach, we're going to tag team preach with Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, Joyce Myers, and Jesse DePlantis. Well, who wants to be first? Me. But Dr. Roberts is always first. Yeah, how are you going to follow? And then Richard Roberts said, well, Joyce, why don't you go after Dad? I was glad. I said, go ahead, Joyce, knock it out. She said, oh, Jesus. She did. And all she turned to me says, yours, Jesse. I was very respectful, but I wasn't more nervous about that because I wish I could be Joyce Myers. I can't be Joyce Myers. I could be Dave Myers a little bit. See what I'm saying? Because I understand how a man thinks. But most men don't know how women think, and we never will. So don't even try. That's what Paul was saying. You ever read Paul's scripture concerning marriage? Read it in the Amplified. He said, if you're not married, why would you want to be? That's what he says. That's exactly what he said. Why don't you be like me? You're a lot less trouble. No, I think he had a problem with women. He said that I didn't get this from God. I got this. This is what I think. He had a problem with women. See? Well, you know, to me, I don't think of a woman usurping authority over me. You know why? Because if a woman can feed me physically, why can't she feed me spiritually? Amen. I've eaten some people's homes. I couldn't cook the food, but I sure ate it. So I didn't feel she usurped authority over me because she could cook a gumbo I couldn't. Well, if she can feed me physically, why can't she feed me spiritually? If she can't feed me spiritually, some of you are watching overseas, that's a pride thing with you.
It's got to come from a man.
Really? Really? When you get to heaven, the Lord's going to assign a woman to you. Oh, for eternity. Now, here's a problem with a lot of people. Most people, write this down, most people know when the anointing comes. Very few know when it leaves. You see, because see, you're used to all this. Glory to God! Wow! But the anointing could have left. See, Samson knew when the anointing came on him. Pick up gates and just drag them, posts and all, to throw them over in the garbage heap. Son, wipe out. Catch 300 foxes. That takes some anointing to catch 300 foxes. Tie their tails together. Can you imagine? Just biting you, just tying their tails together. Turn them loose. Power. But he didn't know when the anointing left. He certainly knew when it came on. When it cut his head off. When you lose your anointing, you lose all your protection. First thing's going to happen to you, you're going to go blind. Devil don't want you to ever see again. But you have a healer named Jesus who can heal you. He cuts his hair off and has Delilah stroking his bald head. Samson. Yeah, Delilah, what's up? The Philistines upon you, jump up. Come on. Nothing. Most people know when the anointing comes. Very few know when it leaves. And you see, there are a lot of people today, listen to me, that are in churches that there's no anointing, but there is a lot of emotionalism. And they love all that. But they're still broke. They're still sick. They're still mad. They're still committing immorality. They're still doing all these things because the anointing's left. But somebody allowed to preach the way you like it and it sounds good, but that ain't helping you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm from South Louisiana. You listen by the internet. We were Democrats. You know, there was nothing else in Louisiana. If you wanted to vote, you had to be a Democrat. Then somebody kind of changed the laws and the Republican Party came in here. I remember my daddy telling me, I said, Daddy, I said, how do I vote? He said, don't make no difference what you vote, boy. Just go in there and pull the lever. It's Democrat. I said, but what does the guy believe in? Who cares what he believes in, son? He's a Democrat. Just hit the lever because the Democrats for the poor man and the Republicans are for the rich man. I heard that all my life. I think some people thought FDR was Jesus Christ. We Democrats here, glory to God. So I began to think, wait a minute, let me find out what this person believes. What, you know, what's their platform? You don't need to know that, boy. Just go in and pull tick, 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 Democrat. You don't even know who's running. Just hit the Democrat number. Well, you know, how many of y'all have eaten government cheese? Hold your hand up. How many of y'all need a healing if you ate that government cheese? It'll lock you up real good. Got to stand on top of the knife with both feet to cut it. Well, you know what? I want somebody to give me more than government cheese and a slice of bread. How come you driving good, living good, and I'm eating this government cheese? And you down at a nice restaurant. Excuse me? I want somebody going to help me out, not just get me by. I don't like survival. You ever seen them shows of Survivor? They eat rats? They eat worms? That's some stupid people. All for a dollar bill and a little fame. There are a lot of people, they want shouting all the time. And I believe in shouting. I believe in falling on the ground. I believe in laughing. But I want to know what you going to do when you get up. What are you going to do? Are you going to get out of debt? Are you going to get your body healed? Are you going to cause your church to grow? Are you going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field? Do you understand what I'm saying? I want something that works. I can make myself laugh. Just tickle myself. I need more than that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Change, a thing that never changes. I want something that's going to work. So I know when my anointing comes, but I also know when it leaves. One time I did something. I can play that piano. You understand? I can play 11 instruments. I can make a living doing this. I made a living. Bunch of money. And one time I stepped over the line in a meeting. I start playing, I liking it, and I was worshiping God. And then I got out of worship. I'm gonna play this baby Jack. I'm gonna knock this down. All of a sudden, I'm moving. The people were screaming, going nuts. And the Lord went, I knew I had missed God. They never knew it because they loved the way it sounded. Worship is more than sound, or more than blood, blood. It's more than hooping. And the Lord said, if you walk with me today, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And the Lord, Jesus, hey, I want more than government cheese. Now, I'm not being critical. What I'm saying is, hey, it's time. These things ought to work all the time instead of some of the time. And the Lord said, stepped over there, Jesse. I said, Lord, forgive me. I was enjoying it so much. He said, I was glad you was enjoying it. But now after a while, the talent that I gave you, you was producing it for yourself instead of producing it for me. And you know what? No one in that church knew it. Kathy caught it. She said, something wrong, huh? Yeah. But then a pastor came up to me and said, God, play it again, and then we're going to take an offering. I said, what? Play it again. Like that movie, Play It Again, Sam. Play it again. He said, then we're going to come out. We'll get the biggest offer I've ever seen in your life. All of a sudden, now I'm a prostitute. Now they're prostituting the talent so we can get some money. You see how quick they can roll down the line for you. You know it, you ain't sent up the eyeball. But a lot of people going, ooh, Jesus, this is so great. Then they go outside and get run over by a truck. What happened, Jesus? Most people know when the anointing comes. Very few know when it leaves. Very sensitive to the anointing. And when it comes, it is the most precious and powerful thing ever. That's the reason why Satan is trying to destroy mankind. He used to be the anointed cherub. He lost that anointing. I can prove it to you. The only reason why he's so good is because he's had a lot of experience working with people. You see, and I'm going to be preaching this tomorrow night, they hadn't developed their spiritual DNA. You see, I can find out who your daddy is by just listening to you. Now, I might know him perfect, but I'll tell you what, I'll find, and you'll do some actions. Like Jody told me, she said, boy, Daddy, you and Uncle Wayne do a lot of the same thing. You know, we do, and we don't know how it happened. We just do things. You understand what I'm saying? Because that DNA is in there. Now, there's some people in your family you don't want nobody to know they're in your family. How many of y'all know? Hold your hand up. Come on. You're just afraid, Lord Jesus, don't let them come to the church. Never forget one time, Kathy told me, it's so funny. I was going over to their house. She says, listen, I got some crazy people in my family. I said, crazy people? She said, oh, yeah, crazy, crazy. You're going to meet one of them. And sure enough, I met this girl, this one of her aunts. See, black people are right. They call those people aunts. White people call them aunts. Because they're insects. All of a sudden, she came and she goes, hi. Want to dance with me? Nope. Kathy going, come on, Jesse, come on. She just followed us. Come to find out, she was a very nice lady. She just was different. Real different. Then I met another one of her aunts. Now, this is before we saved, you understand? I'm laying on the floor watching television. Her aunt comes in, walks over to me. I'm laying on the floor, steps over my face with a dress on. She says, hi. I said, woo. I thought of this, crazy. I'm thinking, she said, you know who I am? I said, no, ma'am, don't want to neither. I said, Kathy, you think we ought to leave? Yeah, I think we ought to leave. And she didn't think twice about it. That's all I could do was think about it. I thought, I'm still thinking about that. That's been 35, 40, 37 years ago. I'm thinking, good God, I can't believe somebody would do such a thing. I'm keeping it private, the name. I certainly wasn't tempted. That was untemptable. That's all I can say. That was, Change, the only thing that never changes. So when I got anointed by the Lord and got born again, I know when it comes. I know the difference between the emotion and the wonderfulness of anointing, and also know when it lifts. And most ministers that are preaching know when it lifts in a place. And it don't take much to injure, if that's the right word, or to make the Holy Ghost back up. Why? Because he didn't come there for you to praise him. He came there that you might know Jesus. See, he's on a job and on a mission too. I write this down. People, especially ministers, must be multi-generational. Multi-generational. God never looks at one person. He looks at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
He works in threes. Now, we know 120 years is the years as some people say 70 years is my reason, strength 80. Really, that's a misinterpretation. Your years are 120 years. But the average person in America lives to about 80. So if you think about it, when God sees you, Jules, he sees 240 years in advance. Automatically. He saw Abraham, he saw Isaac. Abraham lived to be 175. Isaac lived to be 180. And Jacob lived to be 155. Now, it was in a different time when sin wasn't running as rampant as it is today. Sin destroys. It's a decayer of things. See, so when God sees you, if the average person in America lives to 80 years old, they could live longer. But let's just say the average, he is looking at, when God sees Jesse the Planets, he sees Jesse and Jody and the other person that may come or may not, we don't know. 240 years down the road. You see, here's the problem. Most people are trying to build their ministry for here. No, no. You have to build it for at least 240 years. Now, let me explain that. People, especially ministers, must be multi-generation, including people. See, the Word of God in you is for more than one generation. Now, let me explain that for a minute. A good man. How many of you men are good men? Oh, your hand up. Come on, I am. Makes an inheritance for his children. Why didn't some of you lift your hand up? You're afraid of yourself. That's a little insecurity. You think you good is by what you do. No, you're good by who you are, not what you do. How many of you are good men? Ah, got a different response there. Not what you do, but who you are. You see. So there's three generations. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, when I read that in the Bible, I had the whole thing. I go, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, Jesse. I'm in that lineage. My name is in there. So I have to develop something for 240 years. So I know this ministry will still be going on if Jesus tarries. And if Jesus doesn't tarry and comes, the ministry will still continue. See, you know how you pastors think when you go to heaven, you think you're going to stop being a pastor? The gifts and the calling of God without repentance. There's stuff out there you never thought existed. Most of the things I knew about that I learned about heaven was totally wrong until when I went there, I found it was totally different. Because, see, people were coming up with their ideas. And here's what's wrong with Scripture in a lot of areas. Scripture's not wrong, but it's how people interpret it. Everything in the Bible is truthfully stated, but not everything in the Bible is a statement of truth. It's truthfully stated, it's truthfully recorded, but not everything in here is a truthful statement. But a lot of times the things that are truthfully stated that are not statements of truth, we're preaching them as statement of truth. Though God slay me, yet shall I trust him. That is not a statement of truth, but that was truthfully stated. Job said that, but God wasn't trying to kill him in the first and second chapter. It's the devil trying to beat his brains out and destroy it. But now he didn't know. So we'll preach some things that in the Bible that are not statements of truth as statements of truth when they're truthfully stated. And you need to know the difference. And you know that by the anointing, because the Word of God can only separate spirit and soul. People, especially men, must be multi-generational. See, some of y'all, you know, people say, you can't hardly keep an 18-month or 3-year building program. Do you know the Catholic Church built 600-year programs, building programs? Some of these cathedrals took 600 years to build. Now, how did they do that? Multi-generational. We can learn a lot from the Catholic Church. Multi-generational. They put in their children. I will give to this cathedral to my dying day, and then you will take it, and then your kid. We will complete this. That's God's way of thinking, multi-generational. See, so the Word of God is in you is for more than one generation. Now, let me tell you how you don't even make your generation. Write this down. Never take on the needs of, never take on God's needs. Your address will change from Blessed Street to Stress Street. Prime example. Not long ago, I was in a church of about 5,000 people. And I was about ready to get the pulpit. And I want you to see this. Now, don't misunderstand this, what I'm telling you. This happened to me not too long ago, maybe 2 months, 3 months ago, something like that. I was getting my Bible out of my notebook and stuff like that. The pastor gets up there, and he's about ready to turn it over. But before he does, he says this. I want everybody that has a need, please stand up. Well, I didn't stand up. I was getting my Bible, you know, my notebook out of my briefcase. Well, you know, and then they stood up, and I finally got my Bible and my notebook, and he told everybody, sit down, ladies and gentlemen, Brother Jesse the Planets. I came and I preached. At the close of the meeting, we went back and had a little refreshment. Now, watch this. He comes up to me and he apologizes to me. He said, Brother Jesse, I'm going to say I'm sorry. I said, what's the problem? But what? He said, man, I hope I didn't put you in a compromising position.
I said, excuse me, what do you mean a compromising position? He said, you know, I told everybody that had a need, stand up. And I saw you getting your Bible and your notebook out of your briefcase and stuff, and you didn't stand up. And I want to apologize because I noticed a lot of people noticed you didn't stand up. I said, oh, no, you misunderstood. I heard everything you said. You said everybody has a need, stand up. That's what you said. He said, that's what I said. He said, well, the reason why you didn't stand up because you was getting your Bible? I said, no, you said everyone that has a need, stand up. He said, yeah. I said, I don't have any needs. So I sat down. Let it sink for a minute. Look at some of y'all. You look at me just like that pastor looked at me. I said, you think I'm lying to you? He said, I don't want to say that. I said, go ahead and say it. He said, I think you're lying to me. He said, Brother Jesse, I know your ministry. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm one of your partners. I said, yes, sir. He said, I get your magazine. I said, yes, sir. He said, you put in that magazine, you believe in God for a citation 10. I said, that's right. He said, that's $18 million in it. I said, that's right. He said, well, isn't that a need? I said, that's right. He said, well, why wouldn't you stand up? I said, that's not my need. That's God's need. See, that's the problem with ministries. You take on the needs of God, you get on Stress Street, you get off of Blessed Street, and you get on Stress Street. You can't handle the need of God. He said, with men, it's impossible. That's why a lot of them never complete their destiny or reach their destination. You trying to do it. I cannot pay these television bills. Brother Coatmaster, what do you do when you get these big television bills? Jesus, you got mail. That's not my need. Let me tell you something about television. It ain't a lot of fun. Or it makes everybody know who you are. You know what that means? If you're in a mall and you got to go to the bathroom, you would prefer to go by yourself. But some people say, oh, you just in the bathroom. I say, excuse me, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll go with you. No, I want to go by myself. There's some things you prefer to do by yourself. Right? Now, he was shocked. I said, and that's why a lot of ministers and preachers and Christian people take on the needs of God, and you can't do that. If you're a worship leader, if you're a Christian, you go, I don't know. See, you're trying to take on the need of God. That's not your need. That's God's need. Have you ever seen me sad? Have you ever saw me broke? Sick? Why? I don't take on the needs of God. I am not that good to get enough money to operate this ministry. So I don't try. Why? Because that's not my need. That's God's need. And boy, I want to tell you something. God got some big needs. But he supplies. That's his business. What Jesse would do would go home. Ride a Harley. That's what I do. I go home. See, I'm believing God. Listen, God's sending me places I don't want to go. But I'm not going to disobey. So when I look at the citation, then go, oh, 18 men, who cares? Ain't my need in my plane. It's God's. So I walk in that anointing. When I was building this building, I never had one thought that we wasn't going to build it debt-free. Why? It wasn't my job. Ain't my need. And even Ray said, I ain't never learned so much about faith in my life. You could care less. Yeah, ain't me. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have done this. Because I don't know how. Oh, you understand? Change, the thing that never changes, which is always changing. Because it's change. But I got enough sense to know that if God wants something done, he's big enough by himself. And the reason why I don't put myself in temptation with the devil's good enough by himself tempting people. He don't need me to help him tempt the person. Never take on God's needs. Your address will change from Blessed Street to Stress Street. That means fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Now, here we go. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but I try. I didn't try to marry Kathy. I did. If you don't believe you married, look over there. You are. I don't try to love her. Don't try to love somebody and then you're married. That's crazy. Fall in love with the person. Everything about them. I don't care if they're fat, skinny, ugly, pretty, varicose veins, or no veins. You love them. You didn't marry their body. You married them. And look at it and say, till death do us part. That could happen very easily, but we've got to watch ourselves. Boy, me and Kathy got so mad at each other at times. I don't know why. I didn't do nothing wrong. I did not do nothing wrong. We've learned that. Some of you have heard me say the covenant church. We learned it from the very beginning. After we got born again, we found a scripture. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. We have applied that many times. Kathy been mad at me, boy. Kathy can get mad. It's like a little cat. but the sun's on in my favor. I say, Kelly, Kelly, Kelly! Oh, she gets mad when I raise my voice. What? Sun going down. Come on, Mama. Come on. Come on, Mama. Sun going down. Come on, Mama! I know she got to do it. She said, Jesse, I'm sorry. I say, I pardon you. And vice versa. But she adds a little bit more when I do it. I'm mad at her. She says, okay, you're a white-headed fat boy. Sun going down. Sun going down. God, God, say it, say it, say it, Jesse. I'm sorry, Kathy. I pardon you. It's over. Kathy don't have no needs. Why? El Shaddad. Kathy will see something that's very expensive. Women know how to work this, man. I'm telling you, they're masters at this. They go, oh. If it's a piece of jewelry, say it's this, oh, look how it shines. Boy, she said, let me look at the price. I said, this is a woman's ring. She goes, oh, oh, oh. It's too expensive. I said, well, it sure is pretty. It looks good on you. Do you want me to have it? I said, that's what I live for, Kathy. Sure, I want her to have it. I ain't gonna lie about it. She said, well, then let the Lord lead you, boy. Why? That's very a spiritual thing. I couldn't take on the needs of this. So I don't. So I'm living on blessed street instead of stressed street. Now, God will give me an insight, a concept, and an idea of what to do with this. And then that's fine. And then sometimes, I said, you have not. Now here, this is a revelation. Remember this. This is going to set you free. How many times you said, Jesus, Jesus, come on, Jesus, come here, come here. I need to know. I need to know. And you cannot get an answer from God. Yeah, how many of y'all been there? You know what the problem is? He's not going to answer you. Why? He has decided that whatever decision you make, he'll back it. Think about that for a minute. That's why you can't get an answer. He's trusting you. Well, whatever you do, whatever you decide to do, I'll back it. Then when the Lord gave me that, I said, would you please tell me what to do? He said, Jesse, how old are you in my grace? And I told him, I said, he said, Jesse, I trust you. Whatever you decide, I'll back it. That set me free, Mark. That set me free. And then sometimes I say, God, don't do that, Jesse. This, boom, boom, boom. You got to obey. But at sometimes I can't get an answer, Ricky, to save my soul. Then it dawns on me. Ah, whatever I decide, you'll back it. Prime example, if you're going out and eat dinner, you don't know what you want to eat. You ask, why would you want to eat? Well, whatever she decides, that's where you go. Just whatever. She going to back it or you going to back it. Like one time I was in Chicago, I'll never forget it. I was receiving an offering for that church. Spirit of God told me, he said, receive the offering tonight. Don't take any of it and give it to the church. I said, I believe I will. So I started receiving it. Boy, the anointing of increase was on me, Mark. You could tell it was going to be a nice offering. You could sense it. More than money, it was motive. Boy, God was doing something. So Kathy's like this. Which means this. How much do you want me to give? You know, give me a little insight here. And I looked at her and said, woman, whatever the Lord tell you, do it. You're asking me for. See, because I was talking out of my spirit. Then after I said that, my mind said, you crazy? So, we received the offer. Well, they were driving us back to the hotel. I wanted to know how much she gave, but I couldn't. I didn't want to ask in front of everybody. I'm going, how much did you give? How much did you give? She goes, what? What's the matter with you, woman? You can hear everything else. How much did you give? What did you say, Jesse? Oh, nothing. I was clearing my throat, lying like a dog. I had to wait till I got in the hotel. I said, got it. How much did you give? She said, I gave $25,000. I went, oh! So I was thinking jewels about $50, $100, maybe $1,000. She said, you said to do what the Lord said. And the Lord said, that's right. Now, when I go to receive an offer from a church, I come and say, "Are y'all pray about what God gonna tell y'all to do?" Okay, woman, well, let's talk about this now. You understand what I mean? And it was a blessing, and the Lord blessed me. The Lord blessed me. But what happened was, I backed it. I backed it. I made sure that check was good. I backed it. See what I'm saying? So sometimes you may not get something from God, concrete. And what that's telling you is, because you love God, you know Him, He's saying, whatever you decide will be fine. I trust you. And then He'll back that. Are y'all enjoying this as much as I am? So let me say this. Never take on God's needs. Some of you have been on it. You came in, you're under stress because you're taking on God's needs. You don't know what to do. Will you tell me just to lay down and do nothing? No. I'm telling you, go before God to give me an insight, a concept, and an idea. Once you do that, you act on that, He takes care of the rest. Don't make it complicated. Because if you're searching for somebody to meet that need, you got trouble on your hands. Now, I know a lot of people who could buy that citation 10 cash. I preach in New York, Wall Street, the suits. I'm talking guys that are dealing in the hundreds of millions of dollars. But you know what? I'd have more trouble. Because see, then they would become God instead of God being God. Let me say this in close. Never be afraid to tell others about what God has blessed you with. That's a big problem with Christians and preachers. You see a beautiful, you got a new dress on. People say, that's the new dress. I got it on sale. Well, thank God you got it on sale, but you didn't have to say that. You could have said you paid full price. Who cares? Listen to me. Never be afraid to tell others about what God has blessed you with. Why? Why? Wealth is a wonderful power in the hands of a wise person. It is great. I have learned through the media, and even Benny Hinn told me, he said, you got more guts than any one man I've seen in my life. I do not blink an eye when the sinner says, boy, I heard you doing real good. I said, well, you heard wrong. I'm doing better than that. They go. I said, the Lord's blessed me. What do you want me to do? Hide it? What kind of car you got? I said, a good one. What kind you got? Well, you stealing grandma's money. Really? Let's go see grandma. I have said that on ABC. Live. I'm stealing grandma. Then I forget about him. I look at the camera. Put me on this camera right here. And I say, hey, how many of y'all want to know what grandma I'm stealing from? Come on. You'd like to get this old preacher, would you? I said, this man says I'm stealing from grandma. So we're going to go to grandma's house and then we're going to go live again, right? He's going, I said, are you looking for a story? You don't care if it's a truth or a lie. I said, I haven't stolen anything. I said, I am a blessed man. God bless me. I had one man said, why do you wear jewelry? I said, the Lord like a little bling bling. He like a little bling bling. I just happen to like jewelry. I don't know. You might like a boat. I don't have a boat. You got a boat? You might have a boat. That's okay with me. Ride your boat. You got to put gas in yours. All I got to do is wine mine. Just a difference. Watch maybe as much as your boat. Maybe a little more than your boat. I don't know. Don't make no difference. It's bling bling. Now, if you know what bling bling is, ask your children. They'll help you. Because heaven is full of bling bling. Gold streets, pearly gates, diamond bear, jasper, onyx, ruby. Lord Jesus. Bling bling. Everywhere. Everywhere. So I never make an excuse for the blessing of God in my life. Because you see, I'm talking to sinners, and all they can see is the blessing. They can't see nothing spiritual. Peter, they're not spiritual. Now they're gonna criticize me, but that's okay. They're gonna need me. Like 1 years ago in the 80s, we was in Homer at the Wendy's there on Tunnel Boulevard. A very wealthy man in the oil industry. Louisiana went through not a recession, but a depression in the oil industry. I mean, oil went down like $5 a barrel, $4. It just shut everything down. And this very wealthy oil man, I was getting a hamburger. He says, how's the recession affecting you? I said, we're not participating. It blew him away. I said, that makes no difference. And our ministry grew by 30% that year when everything was shutting down. If you lived in Lafayette, Louisiana, you'd see these bumper stickers. If you're the last one to leave, turn out the light, all that kind of stuff, you know. Didn't make no difference. I don't care about that. I don't live by your giving. I live by my giving. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, so why are you mad at me if the Lord has blessed me and given me power to get wealth? That's what He said. He said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Why are you mad at me? I'm just proving the scripture. Now, I am not a thief, and I'm not taking your money and spending it on myself. I don't do those things. That's why the IRS likes me. I separate Jesse Duplantis from Jesse Duplantis Ministry. He's the board of directors. Y'all see everything. Am I correct? I mean everything. Am I correct, Joe? Everything. Sharon, am I correct, Sharon? See it all. Whatever. We don't hide nothing. Everything. Why? Why not? We got nothing to hide. That is not the issue. The issue is, if I'm a blessed man, that's the only thing they understand, Mark. The heathen don't understand it. But they understand this. They go, whoa, that's a nice ring. Yeah, the Lord bless me. Isn't that good? I had one man tell me one time, boy, you got a nice car. I said, come see this thing, man. Can you believe God gave me this? First, he's trying to criticize me. He's about ready to nail me. I said, look at this thing. You got one like that? He goes, no, no. I said, the Lord must not be blessing you, but that's okay. Come on over here. I said, look at this thing. Look at this. I said, can you believe the Lord gave me it? And see, I'm putting it on God to go, that's pretty nice. I said, it's real nice. I said, the Lord just bless you. I said, you know, it's kind of like father and family. You know, if your children, you know, they obey you, you bless them. I said, that's what's happening to me. And then all of a sudden the criticism's gone. They go, well, yeah, I guess that does make sense. Change, the thing that never changes. But you got a lot of people always trying to hide. And then if they figure that out, they're going to hunt you down. It's called the Christian Inquiry. They're going to come up with all kind of stuff you ain't never heard of in your life. Because they figure, what is he hiding? Kathy said, there can never be a scandal against you, just you tell everybody everything. There's a reason for that. It's called transparency. It's transparency. You see? Transparency. The reason why I do an offering teaching before an offering is not so I can make the offering bigger. I ain't got anything to do with it. Is that I'm tired of people hurting. I'm tired of people struggling. When we got this El Shaddai, this Adonai, this Elohim, this El Elyon, this God that's more than enough, and we just struggling to get by. Yeah, but you live in a metropolitan area. Don't make no difference. Some of the richest people in the world live in the country. Do you know the greatest wealth was made not in boom times, but in bad times? Depression. People got filthy rich. Joseph P. Kennedy. Rich. You know why? He had enough sense to understand reaping, so when the opportunities came, he bought it for 5 cents a dollar, and then the economy turned around and sold it for $2 million. And he wasn't ripping anybody off. That was the way it worked. Same thing with John Rockefeller and everybody else. Even John Rockefeller said, the reason why God has made, there's no way a man can become this wealthy. Do you know how much, do you know the richest man to ever live in America was John D. Rockefeller, not Bill Gates? If you take John D. Rockefeller's money and equate it to our money, Bill Gates, at his highest before everything went out, he was worth approximately 75 to 100 billion with a B. Okay? All right. And his business, Microsoft, was worth, whoo, Lord, 500 billion. John D. Rockefeller's money, and he was worth $235 billion. Just him. And he said that, do you know he's a tither? Can't be a generous giver to your faithful tither. He said, God has done this. No way no man can do this. Now, you got to say, do you hear people when they do little things on him, they try to criticize him? Why? You want to touch a city? Eddie, you want to touch level land? Buy it. Buy it. You want to touch New Orleans? Buy it. You want to touch Detroit? Buy it. What? Buy it. What do you mean buy it? Buy it. Then you can put God on every billboard. Every radio station, every television station. Oh, God. Buy it. Don't let money buy you. Let money work for you. Instead of you working for money. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, they're going to come at you. I'll say this in close. There's a country club right next door. I had them literally come up to me and say, Reverend, seems like everything you touch prospers. Now, this is people that don't know God. Why don't you run this place for a while? I thought. Then I realized what they were looking at. They saw the glory. Do you know the Bible, when it uses the word glory, most of it's dealing with wealth. You know what most people think of the glory? Blue smoke. No, it's wealth. They said, he touches, everything he touches prospers. That doesn't mean I didn't have no financial hard times. I don't want you to misunderstand. The devil attacked me just like he attacked you. But I made up my mind. Buy it. So, now there's a rumor here. It's all over the parish. Or county, whatever you want to call it. This is what's saying. He's so rich, he's going to buy up the whole place. I never said that. They the one gave me the idea. Mark, I never thought of it. And the Lord said, well, a Christian wouldn't tell you. I had to get a heathen to tell you. There are over 1,100 homes here just in Armand Country Club. I didn't count the country club. They thinking, this is what being said. He's going to buy it all. He's going to move all his people in. He's going to control the parish because he got all the votes. I never said that. That makes good sense. Aren't we supposed to control the wealth of the wicked later for the... Oh, is that scriptural? Yes, that is. Well, can you handle that kind of money? Yeah, I certainly can. Somebody gave me $1 billion today, my salary wouldn't change. I'm doing all right. I put $1 billion in the ministry. I get Jesus to come quicker. How do you know that? When the gospel is preached to the world for a witness. He didn't say they have to receive it. He said they got to witness it, Jules. Bible said the end shall come. Now I'm going long. Let me hurry. Good Lord. The end shall come. I know that's what you're saying. Please let the end come. The end shall come. Hallelujah. Do you see my point? That's why we've been placed in an economic world. Now, that's what prosperity is about. It's not a money message. It's an obedience message. Did you enjoy it tonight? Give the Lord a hand clap.
You can contact us at Jesse Duplantis Ministries, P.O. Box 20149, New Orleans, Louisiana 70141. Or call us at 985-764-2000. And don't forget to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.jdm.org.